interesting word, this persecution. Saul was persecuting the Christians. He was having them beaten, having them stoned, putting them in jail. Not a very nice thing. And yet, we know that he was one of the Pharisees, one of the educated people, one of the lawyers of the church, one of the people who was supposed to be the most devout of the Jews. Why would he do such a thing? Why would he choose to hurt these people who we call brothers in Christ? Because he did not understand that Christ was the Messiah. Because he did not understand that this message was from God, because he did not understand and he was carried away by his desire to keep the faith pure, to not let it be polluted by this new thing that was happening, by this new prophet that had come, by this new person who had been crucified as a common criminal. It seemed to him that it sullied the name of God, that it interfered with the purity of his religion, that it went against the things that he had been taught. And so, being a good Pharisee, he was doing what he thought was right, putting Christians in jail, even putting Christians to death. And yet, God chose this man, this Pharisee, this persecutor, to be his disciple. What a strange choice from our worldly perspective that God would choose the very one who persecuted his own people to lead, to bring into the world the Word of God, the ministry of Jesus, the understanding of Christ as God's Son to us. Because at least most of us are not Jews. We're not Jews before we became Christians. And so we are those Gentiles that he speaks of. We are those people that needed to hear his word. We are the unwashed, unwelcome, unclean folks that the Hebrew people didn't want to have anything to do with, because we weren't part of their faith. Well, if you know your church history, you know that 300 years later, Constantine declared Christianity the religion of the Roman Empire, and the Christians began to persecute the Jews. Some people may have said that that culminated in the sacrifice of 6 million Jews in Nazi Germany. What a horrible thing. We as Christians were persecuted by Jews, and then we as Christians turned around and persecuted the Jews who persecuted us. Sounds like a blood feud. Sounds like the Hatfields and the McCoys. Sounds like brothers fighting brothers and over something that, from our perspective today, seems petty, seems simple, seems unnecessary. We pray that prayer that says something about forgiving trespasses as our trespasses are forgiven. And yet, when faced with someone who wants to change or challenge or do something different to our religion, we tend to get our back up. Today's headlines scare me, because once again I hear lawyers and politicians and people in power invoking God, faith, Christianity as a reason for what they do, and it makes me nervous. Do I think there should be Christians in office? Well, yes, I certainly hope so. Do I think we should maintain those values? Absolutely. But there's something in there about not judging other people, and I hear a lot of judgment. I hear a lot of people who want to say those people aren't good enough. Their faith isn't strong enough. They aren't like us. Well, which one of them did God not make? which one of them is not made by God? Which one of them is not God's creature, whether they understand God as we do or not? Who are we to judge? Who are we to decide? Saul thought that he was good enough to make those decisions, and that the Christians were not good enough to continue to worship as they chose. I don't want to meet my Maker and have to admit that I did such things, especially not in His name. See, we persecute people because they're not like us. We hate people because they're different from us. People scare us because we don't understand them. People frighten us. And when we're frightened, we get defensive. And we try and protect ourselves and protect those things that are important to us. That's just normal. That's just human. That's just how we are. But God asks us to do better. God asks us to be better. God asks us to be willing to stand up for what we believe in, be an example of what we believe in, not by destroying people who are different, not by judging those who have not found our way yet, but by being an example so that those who seek a better way will see it in us. See, that 300-year period between when the author of Acts is writing here and when Constantine declared the Roman Empire a Christian empire, thousands of Christians died, went to their deaths because they refused to say that Caesar was a god, went to their deaths because they refused to deny Jesus' divinity, went to their deaths because they upheld their belief in Christ as the Son of God, joyfully, singing His praises, singing hymns, worshiping Him even as they were led into the Colosseum to be slaughtered. And the people of Rome and the people of Italy and the people of the Roman Empire saw that and were stunned. Because according to their eyes, these people were crazy. Crazy for Jesus. Amen. Would that we could be so crazy. Would that we could be so strong in our faith that we were willing to stand up for what we believe in, even in the face of a horrible death. Saul persecuted Christians, and yet he was transformed by a vision. What if Ananias had said no? What if Ananias had taken advantage of Paul's blindness to beat him up and even kill him? Where would our church be today without that disciple who traveled the whole empire preaching the Word of God? Ananias embodied that unconditional love, that willingness to follow God's directions, even in the face of what seemed to be something insane. Lord, He has orders from the high priest to bind the believers and take them to Jerusalem for judgment. And you want me to heal him? Well, wait a minute! Yes, Ananias, I want you to heal him because he is my instrument. He is my creation. He is my person. How do we know that that person out there that we look down on, that person out there that we take for granted, that person out there that we're afraid of, might not be a disciple of God waiting to be introduced to the faith that we know? How do we know that that criminal might not be a future preacher? How do we know that that addict might not be a future instrument of God's will. How do we know? We don't. Can we rise above our own fears and see in every person that we meet the Christ that we love? Because that's what he asks of us. That every creature created by him should be lovable to us because they are his creation. Not because they're acting lovable or being lovable or... but because he asks us to step out of ourselves, to go beyond our own fears and our own worries and our own concerns, to see the potential. I know a lot of you probably enjoy reading Charlie Brown comics just as much as I do. And my favorite line from Charlie Brown is when he's standing there and he says, hell is having a great potential. Because everybody's always telling him what he could do if he'd just try, what he could accomplish if he'd just buckle down and do it. And he always keeps having that faith that, you know, that little girl is going to hold that football. And she never does. This Sunday they were playing baseball and nobody liked his pitching. But he kept going back. He kept being willing to try. He kept being willing to serve. It is in the simplest of things that we find the most amazing of truths. Will we be persecutors or persecuted? I don't know. But I know that for me, I would rather get taken advantage of occasionally than to be someone who takes advantage of others. I would rather be hurt occasionally than be someone who is so armored against hurt that I never feel anything. I would rather take a chance on other people and be wrong sometimes than to never take that chance at all. Because God took a chance on me. Jesus gave me a second chance. If he gave me a second chance, how can I not be willing to believe that other people can change too? How can I not be willing to believe that if Saul, the persecutor of Christians, can be transformed by vision, that other people might not see the vision that they need to see to be transformed themselves? I don't know where you're led or who you meet, but I ask you today to think about the fact that God made everyone and everything that we come in contact with. If that's God made, how can it be bad? We can only see good and bad in relation to ourselves. Certainly the Christians, even Ananias, thought Saul was not a good person because he was persecuting Christians. He was doing a bad thing. Yet Jesus saw him as a tool who, because of his persecution, would be called to do exceptional stuff. Would someone who hadn't seen their potential for wrong and for evil been nearly as good a disciple to the Gentiles, to the Roman Empire, as Saul was? Probably not. God probably knew exactly what he was doing. Chose Saul to become Paul exactly because he had been so zealous, so passionate about protecting his faith, as he understood it. But when he came to a new understanding, he became just as passionate about proclaiming the Word of God. And so it says in that final verse, he began to proclaim Jesus in the synagogue, saying, he is the Son of God. Amen.